this is Neil Funk, and you're listening to Frick on the Chicago Bullseye.
Hello, this is Nick Friedel, and you're listening to Frick on the Chicago Bullseye. Hi, this is Chuck Swirsky, and you're listening to Frick on the Chicago Bullseye.
I'm Bob Love of the Chicago Bulls, and you listen to
Frick. Is there anyone else that you like outside of Collison that you would say as a free agent, not Collison, outside of Beverly, that you'd like to see them potentially bring in that you think would be a good fit? Because you're not of the mind that, you know, Ryan A is the answer. He's fine as a third stringer, right? But yeah, Ryan, our should be in our third stringer is fine there, but not as a starter.
Yeah, Arch has been way better than I expected. I made fun of him last year when he was on the roster, and he's actually been all right this year. He's definitely a backup, though, like, and if anything, maybe even third string. Like, I think he definitely is on a roster. In terms of anybody else, like, I'm not really in on Rubio. I don't really like Rubio that much. Like, I feel like, I mean, I know he killed the Bulls the other day, I'm pretty sure, but, like, I don't like his lack of shooting either. Like,
yeah.
I guess if you sign him to a short-term deal, like, fine, but, like, I'd rather have a guy like Beverly. And I don't think they're going to – like, I've talked about Malcolm Brogdon as a possibility, but that would be expensive probably.
Well, I think he just signed, right? Didn't he just sign with
– Bledsoe signed. Brogdon just got hurt, suffered an injury. I'm not sure when he's going to be back. But I think Brogdon would be a great fit, but I feel like it will probably end up just being too expensive. Like, he put up a 50-40-90 season this year. I mean, he's a great shooter, solid defender. Like, I feel like ideally, like – and he wouldn't be like a primary ball handler. I think Zach would probably do – like a bit more primary ball handling. But Brogdon can't handle the ball. But he'd also just be a great spot-up shooter playing off Zach. I feel like it'd be a really nice fit. But again, like, I feel like to get the Bucks to not match that contract would probably be huge. I still would look into it and maybe force him to match a contract, maybe. So I like him as an idea. I just don't think – I feel like that's kind of a pie-in-the-sky deal. As we mentioned, Alfred Payton is, I think, like, whatever. Like, he's a little better than – done probably maybe
I
not
agree.
A long-term
yeah.
long-term not a really a long-term starting option, maybe a stopgap guy. I mean, I got other guys like D'Angelo Russell's gonna, the Nets are keeping him no matter what. He's gonna be like
a max guy.
That's not gonna happen. Like, they won't have the Bulls won't have the money for Kemba or anything, like any other star point guard like that. So I feel like, yeah, just like veteran stopgap, a Beverly, a Collison, something like that. I feel like we're totally, as long as I guess if they draft, if they draft a point guard. If they don't draft a point guard, I feel like I'd think about going more in on a guy like Malcolm Brogdon. I've also considered, depending on where the Bulls pick ends up, possibly looking at trading for a guy like Drew Holiday. I think it'd be interesting. Like, I'm not really sure what the Pelicans are planning on doing once they trade Davis. Like, I don't know if Holiday will want out. Like, I'm not sure what the Pelicans would want for a guy like Drew Holiday, but I feel like Drew Holiday would also be terrific. Because we know he's an elite defender at point guard. He can score a bit. I know the game earlier this year against the Pelicans, it's at home. Like, he completely controlled the game. His shooting is a bit iffy, but he's at least good enough. He's willing to shoot. He's like a 20 point per game scorer. He's a good passer, good facilitator. He's a great defender. Like, if the Bulls didn't draft a point guard and they were looking to make a serious upgrade, make a big splash, possibly considering, I think him would be something fun if they're looking to take a big step forward next year. I think that'd be kind of fun. Besides that, though, veteran stopgap guy, totally fine. I'd like, it would be nice to, if they don't get a guy like Zion, it'd be nice to maybe draft a point guard. Yeah, I mean, I just think in general, in terms of Chris Dunn, yes, am I done with Chris Dunn? I basically am done with Chris Dunn. I'm not going to be around the bush. I'm basically done with him. I hope he figures it out in the league at some point. I just don't think it's going to be with the Bulls, and I think they have to move on.
Yeah, I hope they keep him as a backup.
If they do, I think it's fine. Like, the defensive energy guy off the bench, you could do worse than Chris Dunn.
Way worse. I think that would be awesome. I think it would be fantastic in that role. Or who knows? You know, you bring in a guy to challenge him, maybe he rises to the occasion. He's never really had anyone to challenge him here. Last question, man. I can't thank you enough for your time, Jay. This has been great. Jim Boylan. So I think we all agree Jim was a disappointment to start things off. February, things really turned around. I think he did much better. The offense was significantly better. Taking a step back in March, it's been a disaster. Really interesting guy, to put it mildly. Our good friends, the Bulls Outsiders, just met him at an event, and I think he's kind of turned them around, a Matt Peck and Big Dave, into the camp of Jim Boylan. What say you on Jim Boylan? Where are you at with him? And would you prefer that the Bulls fire him in the offseason and start anew? Where are you at with this whole situation?
I think at the very least, they still should do like a coaching. Like they could obviously have him be part of the coaching search. I don't know if they do look elsewhere and they come back to him and say, hey, why don't you coach? Maybe you can tell him to screw off. But I mean, there's only so many NBA coaching jobs to go around. So I feel like they might as well keep him. Obviously, he's got the contract for next year. So I feel like they should still look, maybe do put some feelers out there if they have anybody they're interested in. I'm so bad with that coaching stuff in general. Like if you ask me, like, well, who should they hire instead? Honestly, I have no idea. Like, you could look at maybe a guy like Adrian Griffin, the former Bulls guy, Jerry Stackhouse, maybe like Monty Williams, like some, like maybe
Bill Self.
Not Bill. That rumor is what a joke that rumor is. When I saw that rumor come up, when that went over, that was like a week or two ago. I saw that, laughed, and like didn't think about it again. And I saw people like talking about it. I was like, no way. The Bulls are not hiring Bill Self. Like, I don't even think he would want to come coach the Bulls. Like, he's been in college for so long. Like, he's been killed at Kansas forever. Like, he could stay at Kansas for as long as he wants. Like, why would he come coach the Bulls? Like, and why would they want him? Like, he's never been an NBA coach. He's never had success. Like, why would they do that again? Like, that was so stupid. But back to Boylan, I am not sold on him still. Like, he is obviously a really smart guy, and Darnell had the really interesting sit down with him, and he obviously knows a ton about basketball. I just feel like in terms of just being the head coach and like the front of the franchise and like in-game decision making with him, and there's a lot of the goofy stuff he still says. Like, it's just like over the top, and that might be making way too big a deal of it. I mean, ultimately, it seems like the team has come around to him a bit more. The defense has been a problem, and I think that is. We'll see what happens next year when they're healthy with Wendell back and whatever upgrades they make. Like, the offense he has. He did open it up a bit more, and we saw that after finally, because I was the player. I thought the beginning of his tenure was a joke. Like, he talked about the crawl before you could walk stuff. Like, I don't really know what it accomplished. They were so bad doing that. Like, I don't. I mean, and Zach LaVine called it out multiple times, like saying, like, why are, like, we should be running out there. And we saw how much better they looked when they were opening up the offense. It's like, you have a bunch of young guys. You have Zach LaVine, super athletic dude. Like, you have Lowry, who's like who could be a devastating, versatile big man. You could do so many things to them, and you're playing this slow down dog shit offense. Like, why are you doing this? I thought it was awful. Like, he can say whatever he wants, but crawl before you walk. I thought it was terrible, unwatchable most of the time. And they were getting blown out like every other night. It was brutal. Once they opened it up a bit more, it was nice. It's so hard. Like, they've been bad again in March. These March games, it's just so much hard to put that much stock in them at this point. It's such a weird point of the year. It's been such a long season. Like, some teams are basically just, like, with the resting guys. Guys are hurt. They're hurting. Like, some guys are mailing it in. Other teams are fighting for the playoffs. But it's just a weird time of the year where, like, anything could happen. It's just really, really tough to really take much these results with much of anything and take much out of them. So, like, I don't know. Like, I feel like he's done enough where at least I wouldn't fire him like first day after the season, like, you're fired. I feel like he at least deserves at least maybe go through a coaching search, and then maybe they'll bring him back. He's got that contract, for next season. He's cheap, like, whatever. I guess we'll see what happens with Fred Hoiberg's contract if he ends up getting hired by Nebraska. Maybe if he gets that $5 million off the books, maybe they'll be more inclined to go hire another coach. Maybe throw money at a coach. Like, it's like, I'm not totally out on Boylan. I still have my questions though about the in-game stuff, his timeouts. He's been doing. He does the weird. He got multiple coaches pissed off at him on that road trip. And there was the video of him screaming. He was pulling the villain. I feel like Vinny did the stuff where he would scream at 3-point shooters off the bench. I can't remember who he did it to, but I know Stephen Noe got a video of him screaming. It might have been like Trevor Ariza or like Jeff Green, just him screaming at them in the corner. Like, he's just kind of an obnoxious meatball-y guy. And like I said, I have questions about his in-game decision making in terms of rotations, in terms of the timeout management, stuff like that. So, like, I think they should still look at somebody if they have somebody else in mind. I feel like they should look into it. If they brought Boylan back next season, like, I wouldn't be like super angry about it. Like, I'm very skeptical of him still. But if he got the chance to at least coach and start next season, fine. But I think if they did start next season poorly, I feel like they would have to pull the plug quick and get somebody else in there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's the thing. I think that's probably the right move, is just to go with him and to start the next year.
I would guess that's what they do.
Yeah. And if they hit the ground running, then, hey, we'll look at an extension. And if it's a disaster, he's out.
Yeah, I think that's probably what will happen.
To wrap this up, we got to talk about our beloved Illini, which has been,
oh my God.
Jay, if fellow Illini, I think this is the best argument you can make for not paying college players is the Illinois for the last 5 years. Like, who on and football and basketball, are you kidding? Like, the only reason I've even gone to a U of I game is because I went to school there. I have a whole bunch of friends that I still talk to all the time.
Yes.
You know, and you build these bonds, and then you, at that location at Urbana-Champaign. Outside of that, there's absolutely zero that this organ that this school has produced that makes me, with the possible exception of this year, they had some obviously some exciting young players, but
yes.
The results still suck. It's a joke. What is going on? And why is this happening? Like, what is wrong? I can't figure it out.
I don't know. It's crazy. Like, so I went to school there from 2006, 2010. So like my mom went there. So I grew up like as I started watching them like 2000, 2001, that season they went to the Elite Eight and they got screwed over in the Elite Eight game against Arizona. Awful, ridiculous stuff. So basically that's like when I started watching them was that season. And so the next, whatever, five seasons were incredible. They were the best team in the Big Ten. Year in, year out, they had the went to the title game in 05, they lost, and then D Brown leaves, and I get there, and that's basically, like, they had a few decent, they went to the tournament 2 years when I was there, they also had a couple awful years, and there was the Eric Gordon nonsense, and basically, in the last decade plus, it's just been miserable. They haven't gone past the second round since, I think, the title season, or the national title game season. They haven't been to the tournament since, like, 2013. I think this is the sixth straight year they've missed in basketball.
Disgraceful.
And they lost 20 games this season, which is, I think, the most in program history. Like, they had the nice run. Like, it was just such a weird season, because, like, AO was really good, and I hope he comes back. If he decides to go to the NBA, make some money, good for him. I don't think he's a first-round pick. I hope he comes back, because I feel like he could turn himself into a first-round pick in 2020, so I really hope he comes back. And they do have some good recruits in, that Kofi Cockburn guy's a huge guy, and they need a big guy, like, really bad to go with Georgie. Georgie is a really nice surprise. They need, like, a legitimate big man who can actually, like, play defense and protect the rim.
Yes.
So I think they could be okay next year if AO's back, and they have some of these good recruits back, and they have a really young team, like, and Trent Frazier's pretty good, but just, like, it's just incredible how year after year, like, watching this tournament the last 5-6 years, and they're not even, like, a bubble team ever. Like, I can't remember the last time they were even, like, on the bubble. Like, they've missed 6 years in a row. I don't even think they've been, like, possibly close. Like, I think they went to an NIT a couple of years, but, like, the last 2 years have obviously been just awful as trying to clean up the Gross years, and Gross was trying to clean up the end of the bad Weber years. Like, it's just been, like, a cascade effect since D. Brown left. It just hasn't gone anywhere. And, like, with football, it's been just as bad as well. Like, I saw them go to the Rose Bowl in 2008, whatever year that was, my sophomore year, and that was a lot of fun. But it's like, that was a classic. It's like, okay, Illinois is good for 1 year, and then they're bad for the next, like, five. And they haven't been to a bowl game in, like, again, like, 4 or 5 years. Like, Illinois hasn't been, like, a meaningful postseason game in football or basketball for, like, five damn years, either sport. It's just insane. Like, and there's been, like, so much turnover. I don't know about, like, I thought Lovie was a fine hire. You take a chance on him, see if you could get people excited about him after he was a good coach for the Bears, see if you get people excited about him. I know they've got some good recruits coming in as well, but it's like, it's just so, the Big Ten is obviously just very difficult in both sports, and you just have to keep recruiting at a high level. It seems like so much goes wrong. If they get a high recruit, he ends up not panning out. So there's injuries, there's transfers, guys getting kicked off the team, all that kind of stuff. It's like, it's crazy, man. It's unbelievable how bad Illinois has been in sports. It's just so annoying to when you watch. Because I like watching college sports. Obviously, I like the Bulls better. I like watching pro sports a lot more. But I want to get into, like, college sports. Like, I want to be into it. I want to love Illinois sports again. It's just, they make it so hard. And I'm not totally sure that light at the end of the tunnel is coming. Like I said, I think they might be able to challenge for a tournament berth next year, but I feel like I say that every season, and then they end up being terrible. So they're just totally in a proven mode for me. I hope they do it, but I'll be skeptical until they can prove they can actually win a bunch of games.
Well, they have to next year. Like, I don't understand. You know, as bad as Gross years were, it was always to me like, oh, they were always like 13-2 or 11-2. They were always playing well, relatively well, until the Big Ten season started, and then it was like, yeah, an utter catastrophe, you know, every year under him. This year, I mean, we're not even winning the non-conference. I'm like, what the hell is going on?
They did have a really difficult non-conference schedule this year, but they had the Maui tournament or whatever, and they played Gonzaga really close. I was like, oh, this is really exciting. Like, Gonzaga's a great team. Obviously, they're number one seed.
Yeah.
It's great. Like, and they played them right down the wire. They had a chance against them. I said, all right, whatever. You lose to Gonzaga, maybe you take that momentum and you play really well the rest of the Maui tournament. Then they got spanked, I'm pretty sure, like the next two games. They go winless there. They lost to some podunk fucking school.
Lost to Missouri. Pardon my
language. Yeah, they lost to Missouri. They lost. Like, they had like seven or eight, maybe even more than that. I can't remember exactly. By the time the conference schedule came around, they already had like eight or nine losses.
Yes.
And I was just like, well, this season's basically in the tank. Even if they have like a good conference record, and I feel like, I mean, they had moments in conference. They beat Michigan State at home. I think they beat Ohio State on the road. They won that Maryland game at Madison Square Garden.
Insane.
And it looked like they were maybe turning the corner. It's like, all right, they're finishing the year strong. Maybe they can make a deep run in the Big Ten tournament. They could get like an NIT berth at least. And then, of course, they ended the year terribly, and they go out meekly to Iowa in the Big Ten tournament. It's all over, and they lose 20 games. It's like, man, why? They give a little tease, and then it just comes crashing down.
Yeah, that's why I'm not sold on Underwood yet. Yeah, I thought he was insane, screaming at guy. I'm like, that doesn't sell anymore, man. I mean,
yeah.
You know, I get why I say that, and you look at Izzo, but I just...
I mean, Izzo's a winner. Izzo's won forever, and he's been there forever, and people explain that. I thought Izzo looked like a goofball. The screaming on the sideline during games, I think, is goofy. I don't think you really need that. But, I mean, Izzo can get away with it, because the guy's won for so long. Brad Underwood can't get away with that when you're the coach of, like, a 20-loss team.
I know. You know, it's so disappointing, because I'm a little bit older than you, and I do remember a period where Illinois was legitimately, not, like, great in football, but they were always a bowl team.
Yeah.
Always a bowl team, and they were always in 08. Even 08, I remember that was Zook was the coach that year, right?
Yep.
Mendenhall was awesome. The year before, Mendenhall was awesome, and he hardly touched the ball. He was averaging like 8 yards a carry. Every year they're doing something incredibly dumb, and then it just went, oh my god! Like, I still can't believe how bad football has gotten in Illinois. They're barely beating MAC teams. You know, like,
yeah, and there's so much talent like in the state. Obviously, there's all these other schools stealing talent from Chicago, but there's just so much talent in Chicago and like elsewhere, just for both sports. Like, it's crazy. Illinois like can't tap into that and get that and get good teams. Like, it's wild.
And especially Purdue's doing it. Speaking Purdue, like, Purdue's a joke. Like, it's been a joke forever. And why are they beating our ass in football and basketball? That should never happen.
And Iowa's doing it. Like,
you get it
if, like, whatever, Michigan State's been good for so long, and, like, Michigan's been really good in both sports. Like, whatever, you're going to lose to those, like, really good schools, whatever. But when, like, Iowa and Purdue are beating your ass on the regular, that's just, like, it's brutal in both sports.
Jay, I was very positive up until this last part where we started talking about Illinois. Now I'm in a depression again. I thought, I don't know what we're going to do about this. So maybe we should do a podcast on Illini, you and me.
Oh
man, good stuff. Because Jay, I can't thank you so much for coming on. Why don't we publicize some of the stuff you're doing with Cash Considerations? You're writing for Forbes now, too. Holy cow. Right?
Yeah, I'm doing a lot of it. So, yeah, Cash Considerations, me and Ricky O'Donnell, we do Bulls podcast every week. It's a ton of fun. We've been doing that for a few months now. It's great. I do write some Bulls stuff for Forbes. I'm still doing Bulls stuff over at Bloggable. I do some stuff at Bet Chicago, both Bulls and NBA. I edit stuff at Clutch Points. I'm basically doing just a bunch of crap with the Bulls, the NBA in general. It's been a lot of fun, and coming up on playoff time, while the beloved, again, will not be in the playoffs, playoff time in the NBA is always really exciting. I love watching playoff games, so it'll be a lot of fun with that coming up. And the Bulls will obviously, with the draft, with the lottery, with the draft, with the summer, should be really exciting, and the NBA offseason in general should be wild. So we got a few fun months ahead of us coming up, even if the Bulls have been terrible again this season.
Amen. I cannot wait. Last prediction for the finals. Who do you got coming out of the East and the West?
Oh man, I'm just gonna stick with the Warriors. I know it's a lame pick, but I mean, I feel like when playoff time comes around, they're gonna rule. They're gonna end up winning. The East, like, I keep waiting for the Celtics to actually be good. They lost again tonight, like, and they're not even gonna win like 50 games. I think I might the Bucks injury problems are kind of worrying me, but I think I'm gonna jump on the Bucks train. I know division rival, maybe that's blasphemous, but I love Giannis. He's awesome, and like, they have a really solid team around them. Like, I hope they can get healthy. They got your boy Nico, even though I think he's hurt now.
Any team with Nico is destined for problems in the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but I like Philly.
Kinda,
I like Philly. I think that's the team, man. Elton Brand has done a fantastic job fixing the mess that Hinkie left, and it's awesome. That's a specific shot.
I can see, like, their starting lineup. Their starting lineup is really good. Like, they, with Harris and Jimmy there. Like, and I know they lost to the Hawks the other day, but I feel like that was coming off like some huge wins, natural letdown game. Like,
yeah, they beat the Celtics.
I do worry about, I guess, the depth. I know depth doesn't matter as much in playoffs. I really don't trust, like, any of their bench guys. So, like, if they do stay healthy, though, they have – and if they can avoid the Celtics – I know they just beat the Celtics, but I feel like the Celtics in general has kind of had their number. If they can avoid them, they should – the Sixers should have the 3 seed, so they should win their first-round series. I don't want to say handily, but I feel like they probably should win it handily, whether it's, like, the Pistons or Nets they play, or one of those podunk teams at the bottom of the Eastern Conference playoff picture. And then if they play the Raptors, like, obviously the Raptors are really good, but, I mean, the Sixers probably could beat them. So, like, I don't think the Sixers are a bad pick. I feel like any of those four teams, I think, at the top. I got the Pacers. It sucks for the Pacers. Oh, I guess the Celtics are going to win probably as the 5th seed. The Pacers will probably be 4th. Unfortunate for them, but I feel like if they had Oladipo, I feel like they'd have at least a decent shot.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like in the playoffs without Oladipo, I think they're probably pretty screwed. So I feel like out of Bucks, Raptors, Celtics, and Sixers, I feel like I could see either any of those teams coming out. I feel like it's going to make the playoffs that much more interesting.
It's going to be awesome.
I feel like it's all going to be pretty close. And as much as I think the Warriors are going to come out of the West, but they've shown some vulnerabilities this year. We saw them almost lose last year. I feel like they're going to be tested again. They're still trying to get Work Cousins in. I know he just had an injury, and, like, they've had the Durant cloud hanging over them all season. So, like, I think they're at least somewhat vulnerable. Like I said, I still think they're going to win it all again, but I feel like this is probably the end of their run, if whether Durant stays or goes. So I think these playoffs are going to be, they should be a ton of fun.
It should be, especially if it, can you imagine a first round series against Oklahoma City and Golden State?
Yeah, that'd be crazy.
Oh my
that'd
God.
Be wild.
Yeah, that's the last awesome. Team I'd want to play if I was Golden State in round one. I'd rather play Denver in round one, you know, than them. It's going to be so freaking awesome. I can't wait. Jay, gold, man. Absolute gold. Thank you so much for coming on Chicago Bullseye. I got to do it more often. And thanks for all the time you gave, man. It was beautiful.
So, absolutely. I'm down to come on whenever. So I definitely, whenever you want, man, we can make it work. And thanks for having me on again tonight. And looking forward to the next time.